step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
To jest podcast System Trader, odcinek 19.
Interesujesz się inwestowaniem na rynkach kapitałowych? Szukasz swojego sposobu na oszczędzanie i pomnażanie pieniędzy? Zastanawiasz się, jak postawić swoje pierwsze kroki na giełdzie? Ponadto fakty, mity, wywiady i ciekawostki ze świata finansów. To i wiele więcej usłyszysz w podcaście System Trader. Zaprasza Jacek Lempart.
Robert Pardo to człowiek legenda w świecie tradingu. Współpracował z najlepszymi funduszami hedge na świecie, jak na przykład Dan Capital Management, czy bankami inwestycyjnymi jak Goldman Sachs. Robert jest pionierem handlu opartego na algorytmach oraz twórcą tzw. Walk Forward Analysis. W oparciu o to podejście rynkowe w samym tylko roku 2008 podczas krachu światowej ekonomii zarobił 142%. Hello Bob!
Hi!
You're among the most renowned traders, so that many people already know a lot about you. Could you please, however, give us some short background of your trading career and what are you doing at the moment?
Sure. I got exposed to trading through working on the CME IMM trading floor years ago. And the last firm that I worked for before I went on my own was Salomon Brothers, when there still was a Salomon Brothers. I was the floor manager for their operation, and we pretty much worked for John Merriweather, who was the, you know, of long-term capital fame. And that was pretty, and so I really got I got an exposure to trading from being on the floor there. And I also got exposure because John actually had an associate who was actually doing computer modeling. And that was among the first I'd ever really heard about that. So that was kind of an eye-opener. Then I got involved with, I got interested from an associate of mine in actually learning how to, you know, create mathematical trading signals, although we just called them signals in those days. And they were actually pretty rare and scarce, and people were really interested in that. So I was first doing it by hand, actually, on hand charts, if people even know what those look like. And then I got an Apple II computer and taught myself how to program so I could actually start testing trading strategies. And that led me to creating software. And we created a program called Chartist, which became Advanced Chartist, which became Advanced Trader, and other programs called things like Blast, actually a precursor of Ranger, which we have now again in a more sophisticated form, and many others like that. Advanced Trader ultimately was like a DOS version of TradeStation. Other than it wasn't live, but it was had every other functionality whereby you could create your own trading strategies and test them. That led us into working for doing a long-term consulting project for Goldman Sachs, and we basically adapted Advanced Trader to their environment, which in those days they were using something called OS2, which maybe I don't know if anybody's ever even heard of that, but it was a really good operating system that IBM created, but never went anywhere. And we adapted it so it actually worked live on all of their data feeds, including, you know, so they had the Platts data and so forth. So they were running technical analysis on non-market data, back in the early 90s. That project ended, and I had a client who was with Daiwa Securities of America. He was an American who ran their American brand, their division. And he was a customer of mine from the software side. And we had agreed to basically build a platform to manage money. And that was back in 93, and the idea of a multi-strategy program was actually pretty unusual. But we put it together, and it actually performed better than the specification. But they had had problems financially because of the crash in Japan, and they cut out all business that didn't produce strict commissions. So my client said to me, "said Bobby, it's all yours." So a very small piece of that became our XT99 program. And we ran that with Dunn for about 12 years, and it performed exceptionally well. It produced an annualized rate of return of about 20% for 12 years. So since then, we ended our relationship with Dunn, and I'm doing some consulting. We sell a program called Ranger, and I'm in the process of we built a whole new program. That's four or five generations beyond the XT99, and called part of Renaissance, which actually is highly multi-strategy and performs extremely well. We're looking to launch that now as a prop trading program, which will then also develop into a managed account program.
Okay, thank you very much for that. It sounds very interesting. It seems like you have like 4 decades of experience, right?
I guess you could say that. Yeah,
that's around. It's really exceptional. And also regarding to OS2, by the way, I know it because I used to work for IBM as well. So I know that stuff. I will get back to some details in a while to ask you more detailed questions about things you mentioned. First of all, regarding the XT99 diversified trading program, as you said, it produced a very good results. But as far as I know, you're not offering this anymore at the moment, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So it was replaced by the Renaissance Diversified Program, right?
Correct. Yes.
So how is the Renaissance Diversified Program different from the previous program? I mean, the XT99. Are you using this program now for your trading as well?
We're not trading it right now because the way we built it. It requires a $20 million account, and so we don't really trade that. We're looking to start trading components of it. But that's what's going to be running in the prop trading program and other managed accounts. We're building faster stuff for our house trading, shall we say?
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
And now the original XT99 algorithm actually is still in Renaissance. The only reason why we ended is, we ended the relationship with Dunn, and because it had a large drawdown in 9 after having it made 142% in 8 and lost like 45% in 9. And a lot of people, the appetite for risk when we first started doing this was entirely different than it is today. And a lot of people they were turned off by the risk, even though we found ways we re-engineered XT99 and eliminated actually most of that risk and volatility. But in any case, I just kind of got tired of having to talk about that conversation with people. And even though people still ask me about that, they still actually ask me about it now when I show them Renaissance. I actually had a guy who was really interested in doing Renaissance, and his associate actually said, "Well, your other program has too much volatility. We can't do it." I said, "It's nothing like that program." But, that's so people they get ideas in their head, and it's pretty hard to get them out sometimes. So I get tired of that conversation. So that's what we own. And actually, it's becoming more and more expensive to run, a hedge fund than it ever used to be. And it's more and more difficult. So having this association with this prop trading firm takes a lot of the nonsense that I would have to, I used to have to deal with out of my hands. So I really like that idea.
Okay. You just mentioned that you made 142% in 1 year in 2008. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. And
yeah, it was a good year.
Yeah, but then it's a problem maybe for customers because they maybe have higher expectations afterwards.
I can tell you a story about that if you want.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
I had before the year was over, I was having conversations with a guy who was, they were very successful at raising money for hedge funds, and they were New York centric. And yeah, I don't know if you know how, I mean, there's a real difference in the style and the attitude towards trading in the Chicago versus New York. New York is very stock centered, and very, formal. Chicago still, even with the prop trading firms, is still, they trade everything now in the prop trading firms, but they're still, you know, we're still the home of futures. And it's kind of a looser attitude. People aren't as rigid as they, as I've seen them be, in the hedge fund space. But, anyway, so this guy he thought the hedge funds were having trouble, and he wanted to see if he could raise money for us. So he came out for his due diligence, and we were up about 100% at that particular point in time. And he said to me at that point, you know, if people think that if you can make 100% a year, you can also lose 100% a year. I said, that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. If we don't clean up in times like this, because that was a crash and so forth, I said, if we don't clean up, we're not doing our job. This is the whole point. Sometimes there's going to be this, you know, these obscene profits, but if we didn't get them, we're not doing our job. So, but I couldn't change his mind about that. He literally was I think even he was kind of okay with it, but I think, he thought that the people he talked to were not, that was before we had our, at the end of 2008. So we're still, and ironically, we talked about how we could, you know, if we could make 100, we could lose 100. In that run up to making 142%, our biggest drawdown in that entire year was 10%.
Wow.
So it was one of those years you just kind of dream about. And if you trade long enough, you will have this. I mean, the number of stories I can tell you about guys that I knew who were floor traders who got rich because of a windfall, and then made a good living after that. I could fill a book. When you trade long enough, you will get windfalls, and it's your job as a trader to capitalize on those windfalls as much as you possibly can.
Okay, that's a great story. And do you think that after such a big winning year, do you think it's good to take some money off the table and just to, and you know, as to foresee that it will not happen again?
I think it's a very astute question. Yes, I think I had a conversation with some people who had my course. And we do these trainings quarterly, and they asked about, you know, weighting program, you know, how you weight your trades and so forth, and how you allocate capital. And I said the biggest problem always with any allocation routine is basically no matter how good the streak has been, they all come to an end. Every winning streak comes to an end, and this is the way it is. And the biggest problem with the allocation of capital really is that you will be trading at your biggest size, as we were after a big run up. And if you really hit a bad patch, you'll be trading this negative period of drawdown at your biggest size, and you can lose money you can lose it very, very quickly. So yes, taking some money off the table is a simple way to do that. And to make a more sophisticated asset manager allocation would actually incorporate that kind of procedure on a systematic basis.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for that, Bob. You mentioned your cooperation with the Dunn Capital Management. Could you tell us a bit more about this cooperation? Were they just using your XT99 program?
Yeah, basically they just did. They pretty much ran it for me. I mean, I didn't really have to do much of anything. They ran the program, and we split fees.
Okay.
It was actually pretty nice, you know.
Because I know Dan Capital is known from using the trend following approach. So I was just asking if just XT99 is also very close to that approach.
Well, it, at the time, it was their most successful program, and the it is lumped in with the long term trend followers because of its trading pace. XT99 was always what I would call trend anticipatory. You know, Ranger, for example, is based on a very evolved concept of range breakout. XT99 does not function in any kind of breakout capacity. It's more in the family of a more sophisticated volatility breakout. And so it generally, but because of the way we structured it, it generally got into trends a lot earlier than the long-term trend followers would. And that was one of the things that was very nice about it.
I would like to talk about a walk-forward analysis in a second, but before we will go into the details, I wanted to ask you if walk-forward analysis was used also at Dan Capital, because I thought initially when I was reading about your cooperation that maybe they wanted also use your experience with that approach of testing and developing the strategies, that how to reoptimize the strategies. So was walk-forward analysis used at the time and done by Dan Capital?
I can't really tell you exactly what it is they did do. I can tell you what they did with my, I know what they did with my stuff. But they did not know about, there was a guy named Pierre Toulier who was the president of Dunn at that time, who was a really great guy. And he was very sophisticated in terms of his understanding of building strategies and testing them. And they had never heard of walk forward analysis to my knowledge prior to that, prior to me getting there. And I, from what I understand, they've always been very secretive, shall we say, private. Even they would never tell me what it is there. I never really knew I kind of knew what their strategy was, but we never really went into details about it. They were private about that, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But I think I got the impression that they began to incorporate walk forward analysis as time went on. As Bill told me once, because, you know, the biggest problem with walk-forward analysis has always been being able to pick the strategy to being able to pick the right strategy to walk forward. And when Bill finally figured that out, I mean, Bill Dunn, when he finally figured out how to do that, I think that's when they began to start using it that way. But I can't say for sure. I know that they kind of did an anchored walk-forward with my stuff. They'd reoptimize XT99 once a year, but the strategies were picked manually, systematically, but yet done manually, not by a computer. And I built the original version of XT99 was actually built with walk-forward analysis. I mean, it was actually built in the early 90s, long before I ever started trading it.
Okay.
And it was done with walk forward analysis.
Okay. Thank you for that. I will go into more details about the walk forward analysis in a minute. But just last question. I'm just wondering if walk forward analysis approach can be used in for the long term trend following strategies. Do you see usage for such approach there?
Sure. I don't think there's any strategy, any type of strategy which doesn't benefit from walk forward analysis. What happens is, you have to have a lot of data because you have to typically, when you're testing a longer term strategy, you're looking at windows that may be 6, 8, even 10 years long, and maybe walking them forward for maybe, you know, a year or two. That's perfectly valid.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. As you are known as an inventor of walk-forward analysis, what is known as walk-forward analysis, is there any story behind this finding? I mean, are you still using it in the same way, or the methodology evolved during the time?
It has evolved. Just so you know, there's a lot of interesting things about, walk-forward analysis, because ultimately, the way it evolved kind of organically as of need. When I first, I put out a program in the early 80s called Swing Trader, and it was one of the first really valid, optimizable trading strategies that, you know, an investor could buy it and build his own strategies for his own market and trade it. And in those days, it was on, we eventually evolved it into the IBM when it first came up, but that's still, the resources these computers had are a joke compared to what they have nowadays. You know, my iPhone is probably 10,000 times more powerful than that first that first the Apple II that I had, and it's staggering to me. But that's the way it is. But we literally had a it was very difficult to even load much more than a year of data. So one of the things that I had found in experimenting with the strategies, and customers would tell me. They would actually, like I had a customer who actually was trading bonds with Swing Trader, and he literally built a new strategy. He optimized it every week. So he was like doing a 1 week, you know, rolling walk forward analysis. And he did it all manually, of course, but he was willing to do it because he was doing very well in the markets. So we had kind of, and also I realized that, you know, what most people did anyway is we had guys who were floor traders who were buying Swing Trader and stuff. And I don't know if you've ever really known any floor trader types, but it may sound strange to hear this, but a lot of floor trader mentality is very risk averse. So one of the things they would do is they would just kind of reoptimize it every once periodically. Just because out of anxiety or out of nervousness about what the hell, let's make sure it's the best it can be and so forth. So it's like looking at your souffle when the oven, opening the oven, when you're making a souffle, you know, you can wreck it, but they would do it anyway. So I started thinking about it and I realized that he had a money management company that I was approached by a guy who had a brokerage firm. You know, he had an IB, an introducing broker, and he wanted to run some money. And he said he could raise $25,000 accounts, and so we'd run these models with it. And I had a customer who actually had made a lot of good models with Swing Trader, so we were using those. But I was never really involved. They used my technology, and I made good money with that business. But I wasn't really involved with building the strategies, which was actually a mistake on my part. But in any case, I wasn't at that particular point in time. And he was trying to be, the models kind of hit a bad patch. And one of the things people didn't really understand in those days, because this kind of method of trading was so relatively new, even good strategies can hit bad periods and have drawdown periods. And people are much more accommodating of drawdowns now than they ever were in those days. So, I kind of realized, well, maybe the best thing you really did. I told him, he said, you have to do this walk forward stuff, but you have to do it. He would have to do it manually. And he just didn't want to do that. It was too much work for him. So the end of that story was that program came to an end. And I actually took over some months later with a whole new program. But in any case, I also realize there's a method in statistics called the Kalman filter, which maybe you've heard of.
Yes.
And it's essentially a rolling walk forward. So I thought, well, let's see if we can't do this. And so we had it programmed, and I've never looked back. I would never trade a strategy. I would never trade a strategy with one proviso that wasn't walk forward tested. I just don't think there's really no way of knowing what you really have until you put it through the walk forward testing process. The only time that you can actually doing it without walk forward analysis, you really have to be really good at what you're doing to analyze an optimized strategy to make sure you haven't fooled yourself. So to me, plus the biggest benefit of walk forward analysis, of course, or one of the biggest benefits is that, with programs that are very sensitive to changes in the market environment, especially trading ones want to trade frequently, typically walk forward analysis will give you better performance than just optimizing a strategy would. So that's one of the big advantages, of course. And one of the things, by the way, that I've found that's kind of an interesting aside, is that, you know, there's a lot of techniques. People, there's a lot of methods out there that have been, that are kind of in the public domain, that people think because they're in the public domain, they probably really aren't really very good. But I've found, for example, that with a little bit of effort and of creativity, and adding a few filters to like even like a three moving average strategy with walk forward analysis, you can actually do very well with that. So it has a way of breathing life into older strategies or public domain strategies that people think really aren't all that great. But that's kind of an extra plus to it all.
Regarding the walk forward analysis, I know it may be a very big question, but are there any golden rules, let's say best practices, which could help to use it properly? Or maybe let's put it the other way around. I mean, how not to do it? Because one of the goals of using the walk forward analysis is to avoid the curve fitting pitfalls. So are there any tips you could provide how not to use it so that we can obtain that goal to not curve fit our strategy?
Well, I would say that you kind of apply almost some of the same principles to a walk forward analysis as you would to an optimization. But firstly, we don't, for example, if somebody thinks that like doing an optimization on 10 years of data and then holding out two and then seeing how it does in those two is sufficient, they're wrong. It may be, and it really depends on the overall strategy and so forth. But in general, I think you're probably, it's kind of a dangerous practice to do that. Because you can actually, you will find if you look at walk forward analyses, there'll be times in a successful walk forward analysis when you'll have a particular walk forward that will actually fail. In other words, it'll lose money and it's out of sample period. That's part of what happens. So what we found is that yes, just like you can fool yourself by thinking that by just doing a couple of walk forward analyses can be profitable. But you know, if you have a situation, for example, let's say you did a walk forward analysis, you did two out of sample windows, which to me is not really even a walk forward analysis, but some might consider it to be one. And you're doing it on a market that has been extremely trendy. You know, any trading strategy that can't make money in a strong trend isn't worth anything. I mean, the simple truth is, in a really strong trend, just about any decent method will actually make money. It's very possible. It's very important when you do a walk forward analysis to get as many different kinds of market scenarios as you possibly can into that walk forward analysis. Ideally, you'd want to have. I mean, in the perfect world, you'd have a sideways market. You'd have a congested market. You'd have a couple of roaring bull markets. You'd have a couple of calmer bull markets. You'd have a couple of really extended bear markets. You want to have as much in the regime as possible. So that's one important thing. And you want to have as many walk forwards as you can in the analysis. So one of the things we have done of late is we tend to do faster. Even when we built XT99, we were doing very, very fast walk forwards. But Dunn didn't like that. They wanted something a little slower like their other stuff. So they changed that. And that was okay because it worked. But one of the things we found is that the faster you trade, the faster your drawdown recovery is. The faster you trade, the faster you compound. So there's all kinds of benefits and advantages to trading faster. One of the benefits, of course, is if you do a walk forward analysis on 20 years of data, or let's say on 10 years of data, and you're looking at a 6-year in sample window and a 2-year out of sample window, which is a little bit of a stretch. But let's say it's 8x2. You may only have 7 or 10 walk forwards in there. So then, and it doesn't mean, for example, that you couldn't do it. But you have to be a lot more careful in terms of looking at the internal structure of the walk forward. But if you do something on a much let's say you're looking at a 1 year in sample and a 3 month out of sample, you're going to get four or five times. I didn't do the math, but you're going to get four or five times as many actual walk forwards. And each one of those walk forwards, in my opinion, is a test. So if you wind up having 30 walk forwards and 26 of them are profitable, that's great. But if you wind up having, let's say, like in crude, for example, most of the stuff when we back test the slower stuff, it's always skewed frequently by the big, gigantic moves that made so much money for XT99 in 8 and 9, but it skews the back testing. So you have to be very, very careful. And this is, I go over all this stuff in my course too, that, you know, the building better trading strategies, but you have to be very careful that you don't, that you really don't have a concentration of performance in any one particular sample. That's another thing. So you want to have as many walk forwards as you can. You'd like to have the performance relatively evenly distributed throughout the entire period. You want to have a lot of trades. You want to have a lot of walk forwards. So that's why, you know, we've kind of pushed more towards the faster walk forwards to be able to get greater confidence. Plus, the simple truth is in something like the stock market, which is so volatile, the adaptability of a faster walk forward, of course, is much more, it stays much more with the contemporary, with what's happening, versus you have something that doesn't get it only gets reoptimized every two years. I guess you just better have. I mean, I know as I've gotten older, I never have been the world's most patient guy. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit less patient about drawdowns. So I want fast recovery. So that recovery comes from the faster trading and the faster walk forwards.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much. Yes, it makes sense. Definitely. It's very, very, very great stuff. So regarding the walk forward analysis, do you think that alternative approach, which is based on parameters diversification, do you think it may make sense, or you definitely prefer walk forward analysis?
What do you mean by parameter diversification?
I mean that the same, rather than some time to reoptimize the system, in the walk forward approach, you just have one strategy which is running in parallel in a few sets of parameters, so that rather than reoptimize it, you are just splitting this into a few sets of parameters and you're running them at the same time.
Well, I have never been, to me, that's kind of like what I think is actually a better idea, and that's what we did in Renaissance, is they actually have a basket of uncorrelated strategies on a particular market. So we have routinely 10 to 15 strategies trading in Renaissance and any particular stock index. And we actually have a larger basket from which you pick those. I think that's a better idea because you get diversification. But if you take, it depends, it really depends upon the strategy and upon the parameters. So for example, if you have, let's take something simple and say you're looking at a moving average strategy. If you're looking at the prime driver is 5x20, and then the secondary drivers are like 2x10 and say 10x30, you know, those are pretty far apart. They may not be super correlated, so you have to test the correlation, because if you have, let's say conversely to that, if you have 10x40, and then you go 8x36, and you go 12x42. They're going to be the same. It's pretty much the same strategy. So you just, and so I don't think there could be benefits to that in terms of being able to increase capacity if that becomes an issue. But I don't think there's benefits in terms of making the strategy more robust.
Okay, it makes sense. Yeah, thank you for that. I know, Bob, that you're not using the Monte Carlo simulations in your process. Is there any specific reason that you're not using Monte Carlo, or do you think that walk forward analysis is just enough?
I don't. I mean, I have an associate who actually uses Monte Carlo analysis in ways that are not the way most people use Monte Carlo analysis, and he thinks it has value. And since he's very bright and he's very good at this, I give him the benefit of the doubt, I don't think Wolf Monte Carlo analysis holds a candle to walk forward analysis, if that's your question. But the other reason why I've never used Monte Carlo analysis is nobody's ever given me a reason to use it. I've never been convinced that it actually really offers any real value.
Okay. I mean, I meant by using Monte Carlo and comparing it to walk-forward analysis, of course, it's a totally different approach, but I meant just to see if a given strategy is robust, so that if Monte Carlo is giving also good results, then you could have more confidence with the strategy.
Well, see, I think with Monte Carlo, as I understand it, that's more likely to be the case if the strategy is extremely active. If it trades a lot, I don't think it's as likely to be accurate if it doesn't trade, if it doesn't trade as much. But I still don't think it really is. I don't think it really speaks that closely to the issue of robustness, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. And what do you think then about genetic programming algorithms? Because nowadays we have more and more publicly available software which is using these kind of algorithms. So basically, the software which generates strategies based on the market data automatically. Do you see any value there for traders using such approach?
I think it would be great if it worked. I was aware of GAs, you know, way back in the 90s when they first started coming out, and we actually, in our early software that did that, like the software we used that was a precursor to XT99 was actually a program called Blast, which we sold. It was actually I had actually developed a method that was actually a lot like a GA before I even knew they existed. So, and it was actually very hard to program it. So once we, and it worked extremely well. So, because with a GA, for example, you typically get to you can converge to your solution as a search function in about 10% of the space. We were able to duplicate that. And in those days, speed was always an issue because these computers were they were slow compared to what they are now. So it was always an issue to be able to process faster. So, but I think that a GA can really be programmed to be an extremely sophisticated search function if people want to. I don't know how, I really don't know how much a lot of people do with that, but I honestly don't. Eventually, we'll just completely automate this process that I have now, and I'm actually getting. But it's more like we're actually putting, we're making a little Bobby bot. We're actually making you know what an expert system is?
Yes, I know.
We're kind of creating an expert system which incorporates my knowledge of how to build strategies. So it'll be a very, it'll be an uber sophisticated, very, shall we say, kind of intelligent process. I don't really know whether a GA could ever go to that level of sophistication. I honestly think that to do it well, I don't know that a GA could be is sufficient. But I do know is that a little bit that I've seen of programs that create strategies with no input from the person, they're not something I would ever trade. They're pretty poor. So, and it's possible, but I also do believe that it's just a matter of time until, and I did a presentation to some people in Italy about this a couple of years ago. It's just a matter of time until all of this uber sophisticated artificial intelligence stuff that they have now out there becomes essentially I don't think it's ever necessarily going to replace traders, but I think the artificial intelligence they'll be able to eventually come up with expert systems and algorithms and so forth. They'll be able to trade probably as good, if not a lot better than a lot of really average traders. So I do think that the I do think that artificial intelligence is going to make a difference. I don't honestly know that it's actually made a difference yet. You hear things. You hear things about robo trading firms and so forth, but doing all this stuff. But the evidence, since they're all, most of them don't do very well trading wise. Either they have dumb artificial intelligence robots, or they're just not doing it, or they're not doing it very well, or they're not really telling the truth about it. So, but I do think it's just a matter of time that artificial intelligence will actually be able to weigh in a very powerful way, and including replacing people who build strategies now. But again, remember one thing. I don't really know. I guess you really can never say what can possibly happen, because look what's happened in the world. All kinds of things we never imagined. So it's a fool's game to say it's impossible. But I do think that where we're at right now with a lot of the GA stuff is garbage in, garbage out. So with my process, for example, we applied a cruder version of our process for clients to a client's algorithms, and they just didn't have the resources to actually get it extremely properly programmed. And so they didn't really particularly, and the strategies really weren't that great. And ultimately, I told them that they, even with what they were doing, they weren't, the robustness testing was insufficient, but they didn't listen to me. But the point is, you really have to, if you have a great algorithm, you have to be kind of an idiot to screw it up. But on the other hand, if you're pretty clever, you can take strategies that really are not great, and make them into something that's very, very usable and profitable. You see the point?
Makes sense. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. It's very, very interesting. So what do you think then about discretionary trading?
I think it's fine if you're good at it.
Okay.
I honestly don't think, the discretionary trading has always had the same limitations. One of the biggest advantages of algorithmic trading is it's scalable. There's really the only limit to scalability is how many computers you have and how much money you can trade with. Even when I worked on the floor years ago, most of those guys said that the most they could really follow with discretion were three or four markets. And nowadays, that was when people actually did hand charts and, all that kind of stuff. But nowadays, I think you probably find that most discretionary traders probably have, they have a lot of backup support from algorithms and from and indicators and so forth. I know I did some work for a prop trading firm where I had somebody that I knew pretty well, and they really they're one of the kind of firms that kind of let their guys come in and sink or swim, but they had to pretty much figure it out for themselves. If they couldn't make any money, they got rid of them. But I did a project for the guy and gave him a bunch of indicators that helped him. So I do think what used to be discretionary trading probably isn't much like what discretionary trading used to look like. I have a new client who actually, they were with one of the oil firms, and they do discretionary trading. But in that business, they get so much color from the firm they work at. They're essentially maybe not really trading on inside information, but they are the ones that know a lot more about these markets than most guys do. And then, for example, guys who probably, when you have the data feeds that the prop trading firms have, they see a lot more information about the market, the microstructure and the structure of the markets than the average guy does. So it's just become a different game. But I think in the end, the ultimate limit of discretionary trading is the scalability. Now, if you can, you can trade $1 billion in the market you're in and you're trading one market with discretion, that you'll do very well. The people who that actually happens. But in the end, you know, it seems to be a lot more work too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. It's very interesting. Bob, I see that you are publicly offering now Ranger, which is a sophisticated and customizable strategy program. Could you tell us a bit more about it? I mean, especially, for example, I paid attention to the fact that it uses some Donchian approach. So is it also kind some sort of trend following strategy?
You can trade it that way. The way we put Ranger together, the way we actually test and develop strategies for Renaissance. So we have ways of, shall we say, changing a base algorithm so we wind up with wholly different trading logics than the core trading logic. So whereas you can, in its most basic form, Ranger can just be a customizable Donchian breakout system, and it can be long-term as if you want it to be. But there's so many ways to turn it around that, you know, it can be, we actually are making rather short-term strategies with it. I have a client who actually came up with a heating oil model with Ranger that's actually, it trades, you know, it's an hourly bar and it trades 2-3 times a day sometimes. So there's so much flexibility in terms of the logics, in terms of the filters, being able to trade in a mean reverting fashion, being able to trade in a trend following fashion, being able to trade with volatility filters, being able to trade with different kinds of targets, and different kinds of risk steps. That, you know, people could build. You literally could build like we did. There are three main cores in Renaissance. Ranger will wind up being the fourth core in Renaissance. We'll be able to build a whole basket of different of uncorrelated trading strategies with Ranger, and you know, it comes with a over a 40-page tutorial which explains how, and it comes with a bunch of workspaces. So the workspaces in the tutorial actually walk you through the same process we use to actually build the strategies that come with Ranger. So, and plus, if you buy the open source version, you're going to have a chance to see how. You're going to have a chance to see how a sophisticated trading program actually really works from the inside. So you're getting good with Ranger is like getting your postgraduate degree after your PhD. In my estimation, you'll learn a lot of things you've never seen before, it's not particularly difficult to do any of it. It's just a matter of kind of grinding. It's kind of a matter of grinding it out. Makes sense.
Okay, that's it makes sense. Very interesting. You mentioned about the open source version. So does it mean it's in the TradeStation Easy language?
Yes.
That's okay. Correct. And basically there you once someone gets it, is just modifying this code to create new strategies, or there is a multiple of switches so you can just customize it to your needs?
Yes, there are over 55 different inputs and switches. So yes, you can modify all these strategies with just switches. There's nothing to prevent anybody from actually changing the code themselves. They can do that. They can add to it if they want to. It's open. If you get the open source version, you can do that. But it's not necessary. And I think for the most part, in reality, I think most people, unless they're already very sophisticated, probably will spend, it's going to be some time before they're actually impelled. They actually want to change the code. Let's put it that way. Because there's so many things you can do with it. I mean, I'm still finding out. We found, I have a client friend who's in France, and we've known each other for a long time. And, we got to talking about volatility expansion, and with the volatility filter that's built into it, we actually built a whole new, we actually were able to build a trading strategy which actually really trades quite literally volatility expansion. And we also found that we can actually kind of, by changing some, kind of inverting some of the relationship and some of the parameters in Ranger, we made it into a short-term kind of volatility breakout system. So I keep on finding stuff out about it. So if I am, I'm sure somebody else will too.
And by the way, the Ranger strategies, it can be also, I guess, fully automated as its own trade station.
It produces signals. It's not automated. They actually pump in the signals into a trade station account directly. Although that's something we'll probably do, but it's not doing that right now. That's more relevant if you're trading like hourly bars.
Okay. You're also offering some consulting services, and my question is, to whom it could be most interesting? For years, you were in the CTA business, so is it mostly targeted for professionals?
Well, I think it's the kind of thing where, it's because I it's expensive. It's more bigger traders or professionals who would use it. But it's for anybody who really basically wants to figure out how to actually make profitable trading strategies. I do mentoring, I do coaching, I do, multi-month projects. It's really kind of up to whatever the person needs. I can pretty much do anything people need in this kind of area. It's foolish to hire someone like me to code up your easy language, but, I can certainly help some, I can, but certainly, if you have a strategy, if you have an idea you want to actually get put into an automated form and you don't know how to do it, then that, for example, is perfect for me. That's something I can do. If you have a strategy that's not really working the way you want it to do, and you just have you have questions about it, that's something I can help with. Or if you just simply want me to build a trading program for you, well, that can be done too. So it's anything from the little answering a particular question, a phone call, all the way up to doing a multi-month, even multi-year project. And for that matter, I even though I haven't done this recently, I can kind of fill in as the smaller firm's research department, or kind of manage their research department and give them direction, focus, and so forth.
That's very interesting. You also mentioned about the Building Robust Strategies Masterclass. It's a kind of course, online course. My question is it kind of interactive form of your great book, The Evaluation and Optimization of Trading Strategies, or it's something more?
Thanks for the kind words. It's more than that. It's audio visual, and we go through lots of examples Andrew asked me a lot of questions that a person who's that the trader would actually want to ask themselves. And we go into a lot of new material in there as well. So, people have thought they could actually, I suppose if you're, let's put it this way. If you bought my book and you were a super student, and you really sat down to apply yourself for the next year or two, and figured it out step by step, yeah, you don't need the course if you're that motivated and you're that organized and you're that talented. But if you're like most people who are busy and they want to get results quickly, this is a very, very fast track way to learn how to do it. Like I said to people in the past, one of the best things about testing a strategy is that at least you know whether it has a positive expectancy or not, and knowing how to see if a strategy basically is a fiction is worth its weight in gold, because the alternative is to start trading it and lose X number of dollars. If you study that course and you apply yourself, you should be able to start getting some good results relatively quickly.
Okay, and if, for example, someone is interested about the Ranger program, do you think that this course is also needed as a kind of prerequisite, or the Ranger is just enough and you get all the information there included?
It kind of depends on the person. The tutorial in Ranger is actually really good. I'm actually proud of it. I'm proud of the course also, but it turned out extremely well. It really... If you were to get Ranger and start applying yourself and go through the tutorial and go through the research process on a number of markets, I think you learn a lot
you will learn a lot very, very quickly. The course has a little bit more to offer in terms of if you're going to create your own strategies and pitfalls and guidelines there. So there's a that little bit of a difference. I mean, Ranger's got the program. It's extremely it's a very rich program in itself. The code's very rich. So the code is a great educational resource all in and of itself. The tutorial is a very good educational resource. The manual really explains all the parameters that are in Ranger, and really, I don't want to beat it. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but that too is an education, because I hear a lot of people. I hear people talk about simple strategies, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? And then I hear people talk about uber complicated strategies. And in the end, all that really matters is that it actually work. But at least with something like with Ranger, you've got something that can be a very simple strategy that can actually evolve into a pretty complex strategy if you so choose, with trend filters and volatility filters and targets and risk stops and so forth. So, and understanding how all these things work, if you wanted to actually go off on your own and start building your own stuff, there'd be a lot of things that you could actually use from Ranger and the manual that would actually help you there. I mean, like one of the customers with Ranger is a programmer by trade, a very sophisticated programmer, and very, very sharp. And he actually, what he's done is, so he understands it better, he found a strategy that he really likes, and he's trading now. The guy that built the heating oil model. And what he did was he actually made a little mini version. He cut out the code that actually was used in Ranger, because a lot of this is all used, of course, in any particular strategy. He cut out the pieces that actually were used, so he could better understand how it actually worked. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to go. And like I say, if you were to really master Ranger, not only should you do very, very well with the strategies and the markets, but your ability to actually understand and build strategies, I think, will be dramatically accelerated to a very high level.
Okay, thank you, Bob, for that. Sounds very interesting. I will put all the links under this episode, so everyone interested can find it out there. It's really a very interesting idea, and I think it's a very great source of information, so definitely worth to check. We are slowly getting to the end, but my last question is there any kind of advice you could give to beginner traders? So something you would like to know many years ago when you were in the same position?
Well, I guess back in those days, I just knew guys who are floor traders, and the way they traded, it was kind of like an unfair advantage anyway. So I knew how those guys traded, and I knew what was involved with that. But in those days, I would just have been happy to know that algorithmic trading actually works. Number one, lots of people are making lots and lots of money with algorithmic trading, so that's a big factor. I would say that the most difficult thing about trading really is not so much the methods themselves as much as the trader. Everybody's not cut out to be a trader. It takes a certain kind of temperament. There's a friend of mine who's an author who's written some awfully, really, really some very, very good books. And what he keeps on telling me is that he basically, even after all these years, he can't get out of his own way. He basically will overwrite a system again and again, and it winds up the system makes money and he doesn't. So I guess the most important thing about trading to be successful at it is you have to trader, know thyself. You really have to know whether you're cut out for it. And then if you really can actually live through drawdowns and learn how to do the work, or get a strategy like Ranger that you know works, make sure you really are comfortable with the way that it trades. It's very important that you're comfortable with the pace of trading, the drawdowns, and you know the way it behaves in trendy markets. And you really have to be familiar with it and understand it. So I think aside from knowing yourself, you really have to know that you have a robust strategy. And that's, you know, there's, you know, I have methods to help people with that these days, of course. And but whether you go with me or somebody else, you have to know that what you've got is sound. If you don't, from what I hear from a lot of people, people still don't really apply them. They don't really have super good standards as to building strategies and verifying them. So I think it's know thyself, know thy strategy, and then make sure that you and then manage your expectations. I mean, people want to put $1,000 in an account and make a living off of it. Well, right. Who doesn't? But I don't think it really works that. I don't think it really works that way. So I think you really have to make sure that your expectations are sound. So that if you have a $100,000 account and you're making 25% a year, and you want to live off that, then you have to be able to figure out whether or not you can afford to live like that, and blah blah. You have to really manage your expectations,
yeah,
so that really you don't push yourself too hard, because if you push yourself too hard to make more money than your strategy or your account can really manage, you're very likely to take risks that could be very dangerous. So all those things make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Thank you very much for that. It sounds indeed that people very often have very funny expectations. So
they sure do.
All right, thank you very much, Bob, for that. It was a great pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be
if
here.
Someone would like to contact you, what's the best way to do this?
The very best way to do it is to contact me by email, bob.pardo@pardocapital.com. I always see I respond to my email usually quite quickly. Calling me, but my phone number is actually 847-922-0248. But you know, I'm busy always, and so I really like to have phone calls that are pre-scheduled as opposed to just spontaneous. But email is the best way. It could be a long or short one, and we can go from there.
All right, thank you very much. I will put all the information on my website at systemtrader.show, so everyone interested is welcome to check it out. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
And yeah, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.